Good morning and blessings to everyone. It is indeed good to be here. See everyone's smiling faces. We had mentioned it in brothers' meeting a couple months ago about us being gone here. I'm sure that everyone was quite there, but the coming week, the end of the week, we're as a family going to be headed out. There's a little church up there in Alaska, and the leader from the church there had asked, I'm not sure when it was, last fall or sometime, he'd ask if I can preach, and I had just said, no, it's not workable. And then come spring, we hadn't taken the family vacation with all the weddings and everything, and so all of a sudden we got this idea that maybe what we should do is go preach for the weekend up there for them and then have some family vacation. So pray for us. We're looking forward to that. At the end of the week we'll be headed up there and we'll be gone for 2 weeks. So look forward to that. It's just spending some time as a family. As well as preaching for the weekend. So we'll miss you all. Pray for us as we're gone. Look forward to being there and spending time, but we'll miss you all. Maybe I should put on the board, and what Brother Larry was sharing this morning, it seemed like it was a bit of an introduction. It was like it just fits hand in glove with what I'm going to share here. It was, in fact, earlier on, I seriously had started preparation on a sermon about faith, but then made a little bit of a shift, and so it's just very, very good what Brother Larry was sharing. So I have entitled it this, Sitting... Walking and standing. And that's the title I've given what I want to be looking and sharing this morning. And so trust we can look into the Word and have some things that can be a blessing. Could we just kneel together to pray? Oh God, our Father in heaven, this morning we thank you so much for this good privilege to be together as a brotherhood. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God and how you have come and how we have the Bible in our hands, a written Word, how you have changed our lives and brought all these change within us and to help us to walk in victory and grace. And we just thank you for all that. So we ask, Lord, that as we open the Word again this morning, we ask, Lord, that you would enlighten our eyes. And Father, we ask that the burden could be clear in my heart and the things that are there. We ask, Lord, that you'd help me to be able to convey, communicate. We ask, Lord, that you would take these things way beyond what I share. And God, would you quicken it and make it alive in our hearts? In a way that can help us in our walk with you. So, Lord, would you please continue to guide this time? Thank you, Lord, for the opening, the children's lesson, and time of singing. And, Lord, we pray for the various ones that are gone this morning, various ones traveling. Pray for the David Mass family, what they're facing there with Brother Jeriah. We ask, Lord, for others that are in other various places. God, we just look to you and we ask for strength in within all of us as a brotherhood that we could be found faithful in our walk and when you return. So thank you. You've said where two or three are gathered, you'll be there in their midst. And so thank you for being here this morning. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes when we have work projects and we get together and there's a number of us gathering in a place, we all gather together and we come maybe with different types of tools. I know that I remember various times we've had work projects where there is trees to be cut, there is trimming, there was chainsaws, there's various tools and equipment that brothers brought, and everyone came together. When we came together, everyone was there looking and saying, okay, now what's the process of stepping forward? How do we do this? Everyone, you know, they had their tool, and yet there was a need to understand what we're about to accomplish and how that was being done. And without clearly knowing and understanding some of those things of what the plan is, we won't get much done. Won't be able to move forward. And so this morning, I'd like to simply maybe look at some of what I'm going to call the basics of our Christian walk. Maybe some of the basics in our walk with God, in giving us a what I'm going to say fundamental things that can help us in this walk. Now, our son Ken, you all know Ken quite well. He's you know, he's married and has a child, another one coming, and you know, he's on the energetic side of things normally. But when he was this young fellow, when he was a baby, under 1 year old, you know, the normal process for a young child is to first, when they, you know, we hold them, and then as they grow, they learn to sit, and yet learn to sit. And then the expectation was that he learns to crawl and then to walk. You know, that's a normal expectation, right? Well, we had another baby coming. Josh was coming along, and Ken came up to the age of 1 year old, and he wasn't even crawling. He wasn't even crawling. And Josh was born. Ken wasn't even crawling yet, much less walking. Well, one of the things that soon I observed is he was starting to pull himself up on furniture, but he wasn't crawling yet. He wasn't crawling. And there's a friend of mine that I know personally who, as a young child, they didn't learn to crawl. They didn't learn to crawl when they were young, and they went from sitting to standing. They never learned to crawl. And to this day, this friend of mine, their motor skills aren't very great. The motor skills aren't very great. It's just a real flat spot with that. In fact, when this person tries to crawl, has to actually think, what do I do and crawl, but it's not just like normal. It's not there. So in looking at that, I really had a desire to teach my son to crawl. He's over 1 year old. He's pulling himself up on stuff. Realized he's going to be walking soon, but he wasn't crawling. And so, and he could sit. He could stand. He was actually standing by himself beside the furniture, but he wasn't walking yet. And I put my heart into teaching him how to crawl. In fact, in the evenings when I come home, you know, he hated being on his tummy. He just hated it. Hated it. So in the evenings when I come home, I put him on his tummy, and I'd pull his one leg up under him, and he'd push it out. Then I'd put the other one under him, and he'd push it out. And after doing that for a good while, he actually learned to crawl, and then he learned to walk. Now, you wouldn't know that looking at him today, But I'd like to just maybe recognize, put that out as there are certain normals that are expected and certain things that are just normal in the way children grow up. And there are certain normals in our walk with God. There are certain things that are just in our walk with God that it's a way God has made it to be. And it's important for us to know and understand how God wants us to function. And the more we can understand those things clearly, the more those things become second nature and we follow God and we do His will in the way He designed things to be. The way He designed things to be. Now, before I go on into the sermon, I'd like to ask you a question. This isn't a trick question, but I think it helps us in the subject we want to look at. It maybe helps us to think through this a bit. I'd like to have some response to this. As you view yourself today, are you a sinner or are you a saint? Anyone? A sinner saved by grace, okay? Others? God's calling us to be saints. Others? What are you? Are you a saint? Are you a sinner? You know, these are good answers. And it's not a trick. It's just, I think it's helpful for us to think through these things. Sometimes there's confusion in our minds as to where we are. And those are some of the things I'd like for us to help sort through this morning, where we are with all this. Are you a sinner or are you a saint? Anyone? He's a saint. He's a saint. Okay. That's right. That's right. We don't want to continue in sin that grace may abound. We want to walk in victory, be an overcomer, be a saint. See, these are, you know, when we look at these concepts, sometimes there's confusion because we know the wrestle and things that goes in within us. But are you a saint or are you a sinner? I'd like to maybe just put out there, I think these answers are all good. But I'd like to just simply say, in Christ, we're a saint. In Christ, we're a saint. We're also sinners that have been saved by the grace of God. We're no longer living in sin, and yet we have these sinful attributes that, or with our fallen nature that we have, neither do we live a life that is like Christ was, where there is no sin. We don't live in sin. We don't live in sin. We're saints. And yet, within us, there are, we have to deal with the flesh. And that flesh within us, in our mortal body, that flesh shows itself. And when we fail, when we sin, through Christ, we have forgiveness again. But I'd like to just simply say that I believe it's important that we have a right, correct view of who we are in Christ. If we have the wrong view in this area, we will end up having a wrong view, and our life reflects. Our life reflects the theology and the thinking we carry. Our life reflects that. So I'd like for us to just consider, and maybe I call this sitting, we want to talk about that a bit first out of the book of Ephesians. And I'm just going to say that I want to first focus around this area, because as we look at this and we have this one, a good understanding of where we are in Christ, if we know where we are in Christ, it will affect our walk, and it'll also affect our standing. It'll affect those things. But it's important that we know where we are in Christ. Very, very important. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. I want to start there this morning. In Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1 here, and what we're going to be looking at here is the whole concept of first, I'd like for us to understand how we are seated in heavenly places, where we are in Christ, and as we do that, how it'll affect our walk, and then how all that will affect our standing. Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to read in verse 17. Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what is the riches of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Verse 20, which He wrought in Christ. Now we're looking at what God wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. Now if you consider with me, God sent Christ down here on the earth, and He lived His life here, and in His daily life, you know, everything that Christ experienced and walked through, and then at the end of His life, Christ died, and with His mighty power, He raised Himself from the dead, and then He went, and where does it say He is now? Where does it say that Christ is now? At the right hand of the Father. So Christ today is at the right hand of the Father, and He uses this term, and set Him at His own right hand in where? At the right hand of the Father, in where? Heavenly places. So Christ, Jesus, is today at the right hand of the Father, and He's seated in heavenly places. That's where He is. And who is Christ to us? Who is Christ to us? A Savior? King? Head of the church? Lord, brother, our elder brother. He's our everything, right? Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. So Christ is our everything, right? Christ is our everything. And again, where is Christ today? He's at the right hand of the Father, and He's seated in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father. Okay? That's where He is. Now, go on down to chapter 2. Okay, it says that He is sitting, right? He is sitting at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 through 9. And He has raised us up together. Now, who is that? He has raised us up together. Who is that? Who is us? You and me. Us. He has raised us up together. He has raised us up together and made us sit. Here's where this term comes from. He, Christ, has made us sit. He has made us. Now, who all is in Christ today? If you're converted and you're in Christ, raise your hand. Okay? All right, good. Now look at this. And he has raised us up together and made us, you and I, sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, where are we? Where are we? Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Yes. Who is he that raised us up? Who is he that raised us up? God who is rich in mercy. God who is rich in mercy has raised us up and helped us to sit together. Now, if we're in Christ, where are we here? With who? With who? With Christ. We're sitting with Christ in heavenly places. Now, are we a sinner sitting with Christ in heavenly places? We're saints, right? We're saints. Now, we are vulnerable to these earthly elements, and it doesn't say we never sin. But we don't live in sin. We don't walk in sin. We are sinners that have been saved by grace, and now we're saints. We're in Christ. We have experienced salvation in Christ. So that is who we are. We are in Christ. We are in Christ. Let me just read it again. And he, God, has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So when have we entered into this presence and into this heavenly place in Christ Jesus? When did that happen? At conversion. At conversion, God through Christ, we have come and we are now with Christ in heavenly places, and we're and where's Christ? On the right hand of the Father, right? So that's where we are. Now, how many of you believe that? How many of you believe that? I see some raising of hands here, and I see these smiles going on. It's like, well, I'm trying to believe. I see that. All right. Okay. If this is where we are in Christ, if this is where we are in Christ, and we believe that, do you think that'll affect our walk? It'll affect our walk. It'll affect the way we live our life. It'll affect the way we think. And if we are in Christ, and it says that God, through Christ, we have come and we're with Christ, seated with Christ in heavenly places. It's a beautiful thing. Now, if we're seated with Christ in heavenly places, how do you think our walk is going to unravel from there? It'll be a reflection of our where we are in Christ. Now let me just read this again. This is where God, through Christ, has put us. Ephesians 2, verse 6 through 9. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come. When is the ages to come? When this was written, when is the ages to come? Now. Us. That's right. That in the ages to come, that's now, that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So right now, he has put us in, we're seated together in heavenly places with Christ, and there's this, it's God showing, it says, that in the ages to come, he might show his exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. So here, God is, he's extending his kindness to us. It's a kindness of God. It's a kindness of God that he's showing to us in allowing us to be there with Christ seated together in heavenly places. And some of you don't believe that that's where you are. Or do you? I believe it's very important that as we go on down through here, step by step by step, that unless we know where we are in Christ, we won't get to where we need to go. And that is also why there's a lot of confusion in people's personal life, why there's confusion in our everyday walk in life. Why there's confusion. The reason there's confusion is because we don't really know where we are. So it's important for us to get a hold of this concept. Very, very important. This concept of sitting with Christ. Before we start walking, and I like to go back to my son. I think all of you would like for your children to grow up and be able to crawl, right? It would be just, it would seem right, because that's how God made it to be. And the right order is to have him crawling before he walks, right? Isn't that the right order that God made it? That's the right order that God made it. And if you take that away, I really don't know what all the dynamics is. I mean, I know of a person that their motor skills aren't great, and I don't know how all that correlates together. I just know that I know a person, that's how it is, okay? But I'd like to say that there's this order that God has made, and it's important for us to get a good, solid grasp of all this. In chapter 2, in verse 8 that we just read here, it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are saved through faith. We're saved through faith. Now, I'd like to maybe give us a bit of a concept here about this whole idea of learning to, this idea that we're walking with God and resting in Christ. I have in my personal life, I have, you know, in facing situations, sometimes there are things that have gone awry, and well, that's not abnormal, that's just normal life, right? Things go awry, things happen, and there are things going on in my life. And all of a sudden, I realize that I, myself, am trying to take a hold of this thing and trying to make it happen when there's a rest that I can actually find in Christ. I experience that. I face it. I face situations, and all of a sudden I just in my own self, I take a hold of things, and all of a sudden I realize that, you know, I need the Lord's help, and I just back off and say, God, this is something that I really, you need to come and work this out, and God, help me to do your will. God, I'm resting in you, okay? Okay, do you hear that resting? I'm resting in you, okay? That concept right there. All right, now, I'd like to take us to creation a bit. How many days was there that God used to create everything that we have? Anyone? 6 days. And which day was man created? Anyone? On the sixth day, man was created. So God worked 6 days. And then what did he do on the seventh day? God rested. So when man was created, when Adam was created, the first day that Adam was created, what was his first day then? A day of rest. Consider that rather than Adam working the next 6 days, Adam's first day was he rested the first day. He learned to rest, and then he worked. Okay? God worked and then rested. God wants us to rest and then work. Rest in what? Anyone tell me? Rest in what? Or sit where? Rest. Rest from our own works. Finding a rest in Christ. I'd like to suggest it's God's will for us to come to a place of rest. First, finding that rest in God, finding our security, being seated together in heavenly places with Christ before moving on to the walking. I don't know if you get that concept. And if you look at Hebrews, the whole idea of the Sabbath rest, and I won't take time to go there, I don't have time, but I'd like to suggest the whole idea of a Sabbath rest, God wants us to live in that Sabbath rest, rest in Christ. Now, in looking at moving on to this next walking, do we all understand why it's so important to be seated together in heavenly places? It's only as we're in this place that we can move on into the next stage of walking. It's only at this place that we can then move forward with the walking. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, it says these words, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. So moving on to this next place of walking with Christ. Walking with Christ. We're seated together in heavenly places. Then we move on to walking. And it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Now, in this area of walking, we'd like to take a bit of a look at how to overcome sin. How to live in victory. How to practically walk out this life that God wants, how to walk, how to live out this life that God has us in. How to do that. how to practically do that. Now, maybe I like to, if we're seated together in heavenly places, actually, maybe I'll first take us to Romans. Turn with me to the book of Romans. Maybe we'll start there by looking at a concept here in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. We are buried with him. Who's him? Anyone? Christ. We are buried. We are buried with him, with Christ, by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So we are buried with him by baptism into death. For if we have planted together, if we have been planted together in his likeness, in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, for he that is dead is freed from sin. He that is dead is freed from sin. But it says here, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, can you tell me this? When Christ was here on the earth, why? What was the purpose of him being here? What was the purpose of him being here? Anyone? To fulfill the Father's will. Okay, good. Others? Save his people from their sins. Others? Why was he here? He came to die so that we can have life. Others? Why was Christ here on the earth? To reveal to us the Father's will. It's good. All those are good answers. To crush the serpent's head. That's good. So when he came, when Christ was here, he came to ultimately, at the core of it all, he came to die for our sins, and he took upon himself the form of man, and he won the victory in Christ. Okay, he died, and then he rose from the dead. And today, we are buried with him, or through baptism, we are buried with him in the same way that he died and he rose again. The victory is through Christ. The victory is already won. Christ won the victory over Satan. So 2,000 years ago, when Christ was here on the earth, when he was here 2,000 years ago, he won the victory over the adversary. He won the victory. Now today, if we are in Christ, if we're in Christ, the victory is already won. Christ won the victory for us. And if Christ is within us and we are in Christ, seated together in heavenly places, if we're seated with Him in heavenly places, then the victory's already won. Maybe I'll give us a little story to help us relate to all this. The account is given of a man quite a number of years ago who, he was a businessman, he had a wife and a couple children, and he went overseas for 2 years to do some training in the work that he was in. He went overseas to do some training. And while he was gone, things were happening at home with his wife and children. He was gone for 2 years. When he came home, his wife had left him for his best friend. She had run off with his best friend. And here he comes home, and his best friend had taken his wife and 2 sons and left. As the story goes on, or the account goes on, that this was a Christian man. This is not an unbeliever, but this is a Christian man. But here he was. He comes home, and as a Christian, how do you respond when your wife leaves for your best friend and takes your 2 sons with you? With her. How do you respond? In the account, it says how that the awful struggle that he had in his own heart toward this man who took his wife, he basically took everything he had, took his wife and took his 2 sons. And the awful struggle, and he for 2 years, he struggled and he struggled in trying to forgive, and trying to forgive, and trying to forgive. And the account goes on that after 2 years, he was at a place where this bitterness was just eating him up. And he knew that it was wrong for him to carry this unforgiveness and bitterness toward this man and his wife. But the account goes on that he was asking for help. He went to a leader and he asked, "What can I do to help overcome? How do I overcome this awful bitterness and this unforgiveness that's in my heart?" And the response was this. The response that he got was, "Well, there's nothing that you really can do except believe what God has already done." And in other words, God has already done all this, and through Christ, the victory is already won. And so, in other words, there's a place where you need to come to and just asking God to come and change that heart within. If we're in Christ, the victory is won. If we're in Christ, then He's already won the victory. So that evening, he just simply came and said, "God, I'm choosing to believe that in Christ the victory is won, and Lord, help me to somehow just be free. Take this bitterness, this unforgiveness, just take it away. I want to just believe what you say. I want to believe that in Christ that victory is won, and I want you to just take that away." And what he had struggled with for 2 years in trying to let go, God just took that away. So in Christ, I don't know, how do you follow what I'm trying to say? There's choices, there's clear choices and decisions that he had to make in the middle of all this. But with all that, he was looking at where he was with Christ and having won the victory. And then he made clear choices and decisions that through Christ, okay, it says, you know, in Romans, it says very clearly. Let me just read this again in Romans. Romans, it says very clearly, Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. So the victory is won. In Christ, though we have, it's in Christ that we have strength. It's in Christ that we have power. And while there's decisions and things that need to be made, it's in Christ where we really find that power. It's in Christ. It's in Christ that he works these things within us. And sometimes we try to, in our own strength, take the bull by the horns. And here he tried to, for 2 years, he tried to overcome. Then he was at this place where, just in a very simple little prayer, he recognized that God had already won. God had already accomplished that. And he chose to believe that through Christ, God will just take that away. And he did. I know times in my own life where I face very, very difficult things, trials, difficulties. And in facing these things, it's only when I come to Christ and I surrender and I trust and believe in him that I find true grace and peace and rest in my heart. Let me give you another story. This is when I was a little boy. There's a couple of my uncles were out swimming one afternoon. They had some friends. They were there. There were some friends that were there that afternoon swimming with them. My grandfather was sitting on the bank watching them, but my grandfather couldn't swim, and the boys could swim. As, you know, there's a couple of them, they were just learning how to flip themselves on their back and sort of, you know, doggy paddle a little bit with their head out of the water on their backs. They were just learning to do that. And there's two of them who were slowly going across a pond and didn't realize, and they happened to bump into each other as they did that. And because they weren't as, you know, this is new for him. When that happened, one of them, he simply lost his bearings. When he lost his bearings, he started thrashing. And you know what happens when you start thrashing. And there's another one of my uncle sitting on the bank. He watched a while. Watched a while, and he realized, unless I go and help, he probably won't make it. And he swam out. But you know what happens when there's someone that's in a frantic mode, and he's lost his bearings and is drowning? You know what happens? If you don't know what you're doing, okay, one of my uncles, he swam out there. When he got out there, this other young man that was there, he literally grabbed him and tried to crawl up on him to get his head up out of the water. And you can imagine everything that happened. That afternoon, it was so close that two people drowned. It was so close. And I'd like to suggest that sometimes we as believers get into that panic mode and we try and we try and we try. When, you know, my uncle, he was coming out to rescue. He was coming out there to rescue. And what he should have done is made himself limp and allow himself to be drug in. Right? But in that mode, he was out of control. There was a very desperate panic going on that afternoon. Very desperate panic. But I'd like to suggest that sometimes we are at that place where we are frantically trying. We're trying. We're trying. When we ought to come to the place where we relax and we say, God, the victory is won. God, you're coming to rescue. God, through you, I'm just choosing to walk in what you, I'm choosing to recognize and do what you have told me to. God, I'm resting in you, and the victory is won, so I'm just going to walk in that way. I believe you. Okay, that afternoon, that young man should have just let go. He should have just become limp and allowed the one that was coming to rescue him to just bring him in. That's the picture that he should have done. But rather, he was, okay, I'm just going to say that many of us, in our frantic mode, we go into this mode and things don't turn out right. Where we should be first sitting, recognizing where we are. The victory is won, believing him, and in that we start walking. And in this walking, we come to a place of rest. In this walking, we find victory. In this walking, we move forward. I'm just going to quit. I think I'll just quit. I'm halfway through, but maybe we'll continue later on. But consider with me the need. Consider with me the need to learn to sit, to learn to be in Christ, to learn how to walk, or to be in Christ. And then out of this, we learn to walk and then stand. May God bless you all.